grace goes to the very center of your life. There's a lot of Bible today, so here's what I want to encourage you to do. Get a pen, get a bit of paper. You were given some things when you come in. Use it and scribble on it. And because I want you to take these verses down, because what I'm going to talk about today is I have kind of got to the end of playing with this thing called church. Today there's a challenge. The challenge is about your whole life. I'm going to talk to you today on a story about a man who encountered Jesus, and Jesus went to the very core of who he is, and he had an opportunity to change, and he didn't change. He encountered Jesus himself, the God of grace, the King of grace, and he did not change. There's a warning in today, and there's an encouragement in today. So go with me in that. I want to say this, that most of us understand that that the grace of God, I hope that there's no other way to live. It was interesting at School of Grace this week, which was brilliant. I think we had the guts of 40 people out, and it was just great going over some truths and new truths for people and seeing people engage and talk and discuss, because there's no other message, people. Honestly, there's no other message. Any other message, you're wasting your time. That's kind of a paraphrase of the Apostle Paul. He said, don't let anyone lead you back into slavery because you're no longer slaves. So where you live from, do you want to know what you really believe? The other way in church, we can go through the weeks and months and we can say what we believe. Do you want to know what you really believe? Well, it's not what you say, it's what you do. If you really want to know what's right in your heart, it has got nothing to do with what comes out of your mouth. It's got all to do with how you live your life. Your sense of peace and happiness and joy and hope for the future, your sense of healing, are not dependent on your circumstances or external things. That's the amazing thing about grace. I love it in John 7:38 when Jesus is describing it. He says that whoever believes, whoever trusts, is that word, in God, well, out of your very inmost being, out of your heart, lubab in Hebrew, will flow the rivers of living water. So whenever you encounter God and you start to walk with God, it is not what you do that depends. Whoa, lots of babies and stuff, isn't there? It's not what you do that depends. I'm right, you, one singer, one song there. And it's not what you do that determines what you believe, what you say. They're putting me off. Jesus, who's he? I don't even know what this means. What I'm trying to say is this, that whatever's going on in your life, it's not dependent on what goes on externally. Because whenever you encounter Jesus and you live from Jesus, it flows from the inside out. That's what Jesus said. So listen to me about your circumstances today. They are not the determining factor in your life. Whatever you're facing today is not the final word. Whatever your situation is today, it's not the final word. Because Jesus said that no matter what you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you come across, there is living water that should flow from the inside out. From the inside out. That's what Jesus is actually most concerned about for you. Most of us are so used to being controlled externally. So it's not even that circumstances get to control us and to dictate to us. It's actually that circumstances, it goes beyond that, but we expect God to control our life for us. What I mean is this. There's many times that we simply do not understand that we are free to choose. This is the amazing thing about the grace of God. People go, oh, that grace message is terrible. It just frees people to do all sorts of nonsense stuff. Because deep down, when you're brought up in law, what you actually need is law to keep you right, or so you believe. And the grace of God, the freedom of God, comes into your life and goes, you know what? This is Christianity for big boys and girls. This is not mommy and daddy telling you what to do and slapping you when you get it wrong. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords saying, I have given you freedom to choose whether you want me or choose whether you want to walk away from me. Is that that's all of it? That's Christianity for grown-ups. That's what it says here in Galatians 3:23-26. Now, before faith came, before trust came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came. It kept us right and it kept us wrong, is what he's saying, in order that we may be justified by faith. So before you meet Jesus, you need someone or something to tell you right from wrong. Whenever Christ comes, it's a totally different game. You're justified not by doing right and wrong, but by believing in God. Where did that accent come from? But now that faith, trust has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ we are all sons of God through faith and through trusting. What he's trying to say to you is this, that you don't need somebody like me to come along this morning, and you really need to listen to me. because I'm just about to tee up a story where a man encounters Jesus, and if you have a legalistic mindset, you're going to say, he's putting me under guilt. I am not. You do not need a guardian anymore. You have got the Spirit of God as a living water flowing out of you that will guide you in all things of life. There is no fear, there is no guilt, there is no controlling or manipulation in the life of a new believer. There shouldn't be. You don't need a guardian anymore. You don't need to be told what to do. We need to be encouraged in what to do. And that's what Dr. Phil spoke about last week. He did it brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. Fear and guilt are no motivators, he said, for doing anything for God. They do not work. They do not work. What he described was, you have been given responsibility from God. And your responsibility that you've been given for God to take what he has given you, money, time, abilities, and all the rest of it, that responsibility that you've been given by God is yours, and it's exactly in line with the ability that you have as well. So what that means is that it's your race to run. God speaks to you. You do what God asks you to do because you have responsibility before God, but you've also got the ability to carry it out. Fear and guilt don't come into it. You don't need to be controlled. That's why I'm aware whenever I preach a message of God's love and God's goodness that I just don't want to preach it week after week. I really want to see it in your life. I want to see the stories of breakthrough. I want to see the healing. I want to see the situations of lack turned around. I want to see broken relationships restored. I want to see you and your businesses flourishing. I want to see your children growing up with such a sense of God's love and peace around them that they grow up knowing that God is good all the time, and that's what our family is about. I want you to live in the peace of God, the wholeness of God. I want you to walk in the fullness of God. I want this kingdom to be not something out there that we hold on for, but it is a now present reality. That is my heart. That's that spring of living water that Jesus talked about. That's why I love verses like Galatians 5, and I'm going to get into what I'm going to say today. It's like he said, now, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. So the result of God setting you free is what? You stand. And don't put yourself under slavery anymore. He uses this word eleutheria in Greek for freedom. It was for eleutheria that Christ has set you free. It's the same verse that's used, same word that's used in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, the pneuma, the breath of God. And where the Spirit, the breath of God is living in you, there is freedom. Do you know what this word means? When it means that you are free, listen, this is from Strong's, from the corrupt desires. So we do the free impulse of the soul, of what God requires. You know what I love about this freedom that you have? It backs up what Paul is writing earlier in the book of Galatians. He said, you don't need to be guilty. You don't need to be motivated by fear because you have, if the Spirit of God is in you, you have been freed from the corrupt desires of what you were before to freely do what the Spirit of God wants you to do. Isn't that awesome? You're not corrupted anymore. You're free this morning. And if God's Spirit is in you, living in you, if God has got anything to do with you, Jesus, today, you are free indeed. I don't need to make you feel guilty. In fact, it would be counter to what the Spirit is trying to do in you. Why? Because he just wants you to understand that you can choose. Today, you get to choose. You choose God or you choose yourself. But you have been free. Don't go away from here thinking, well, I don't have a choice, brother, because there's some kind of yin and yang going on in my life. Sinful nature, good nature. Which one will I listen to today? Bad devil, nice angel, do this, don't do that, da, da, da. Nonsense. You've been freed from it. You're free to choose. I love this. I love this. That's why I love grace. I want living water flowing out of me. I want freedom. I want freedom from lack. I want freedom from sickness. I want freedom from anxiety. I want freedom from fear. I want freedom from unforgiveness and bitterness. I want to be free from anger. I want to be free from gossip. I want to be free from slander. Why? Because it's no longer who I am. I have been free from every corrupt desire, and I am free to do what God asks me to do. Isn't that awesome? That is freedom. Now, if you are free this morning, Paul is very clear in Galatians 5. It comes with a warning. And this is the adventure that I want to talk about today. Read with me, Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 17. So you're called to freedom. God today says, I have called you to be free from all that crap of the past. They are just said crap in church. There you go. All the religious people go, oh my goodness, the dirty brute. There's no need for that language. Seriously. Should be in my house anytime between 6:30 and 7:15. And you will hear every morning, you will hear an awful lot worse, let me tell you. And that's Penny. Seriously. Like a docker, that's all I'm going to say. For those of you who are Belfast, you're like, oh, I'm getting the look, move on. For you, in Galatians 5, we're called to freedom. Brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. There's the choice. You are free. God has made you free. He will no longer guilt you. He will no longer condemn you. He doesn't expect that the leaders of the church, the pastors and the people responsible will fear you or guilt you. Why? Because he talks about living water coming outside. But he says, straight away, that's my responsibility not to make you feel guilty. Your responsibility is this. If you've been given freedom, don't use it as an excuse to sow to your flesh. Do you get it? But he said, instead, love one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. I say again, walk by the Spirit, the breath of God, the pneuma of God, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. What he's saying is you can't have both. Choose which one. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So let me just say, you're not in a war this morning between two competing sides of you. This is not a cosmic, as I say every week, a Jackie Chan battle of yin and yang. Which one will I choose? You are free from every corrupt desire, completely transformed from the inside out, a brand new creation, created exactly the same, a carbon copy of Christ himself, his Spirit living in you. And but what he's saying here is, if that is true, the issue is not that that's not the case. The issue is, even though we've been given freedom, we continue to sow to our flesh. The very thing that we've been set free from, we continue to sow to. And it opposes the Spirit of God in you. That's why it's impossible to live bitter and angry and unforgiving and expect to see the life of God flow, because the two things are opposite. That's why it's hard to be judgmental and see the grace of God flow, because the two things are opposite. When you nullify the grace of God by sowing to your flesh. And you are free to do that, don't get me wrong, but the consequences then get all a bit mixed up, because we kind of go, no, God, you love me, and we kind of think that grace is a panacea, as a license for anything. It is not. Grace has freed you from corrupt desires so that you can choose God. Do you get it? It's really important. I love this. God lets you choose what you do with the very freedom that he has provided. Sometimes we use it for good and we use it for God, and other times we just sow to our flesh and we get miserable and we get selfish and we get, oh, no, 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 no. I know that I'm free and I'm under grace, but just can't stand that person. I'm not going to talk to them and I'm not going to give, I'm not going to serve, because I'm just a fed up and good. Flipping, give me a break. Your choice, your choice. Ephesians 4:21-24 says this, assuming that you heard about him and you were taught in him, well, that's you. As the truth is in Jesus, that's you. To put off your old self, the corrupt desires, which are no longer part of you, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on your new self, created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and true holiness. You get up in the morning, you go to bed at night, and you decide what way you're going to live and how you're going to sow. Am I going to sow to my old self that I have been changed from? Because you can do that. Will I continue to be selfish and bitter and unforgiving and gossip and slander? Because I'm free to do that. But what I'm not free to walk away from is the consequences that that draws into my life. Grace is not your get-out-of-jail-free card in that respect. That's why Paul continually reminds you, don't sow to your old self, because you have been freed from it. It's not who you are. You have been created completely acceptable to God, completely holy before God, completely like Jesus. Now, for goodness sake, if you sow into that, you're going to see the life that comes as a result. Sow to the Spirit and you get the fruit of the Spirit. Sow to the flesh and you reap all sorts of heartache, pain, and frustration. God doesn't ask you to do something that's not possible. God doesn't say, I want you to give and be generous, and it's not possible for you to do that. It is possible. It's just, what voice are you listening to this morning? I've got a real encouragement for you. I kind of felt like the Holy Spirit arresting me this week to go, you know, honestly, the grace of God has freed these people and it's freed you, Andrew, so what are you going to sow to? What are you going to sow to? Because don't think that your freedom and the way that you use your freedom and you exercise your freedom under grace is just without consequence. Big boys and rules. Big boys and girls. No sowing to the flesh, and then going, oh, but Jesus, you know, it's almost, I've done it so many times in my own life. I know because the Spirit tells me, but yet I decide to do what I think is best. Or I just let myself be a slave again to my own fear, my own anxiousness, and my own anxiety, at the same time hearing the call of God to be brave, to be courageous, and to be strong. And I think, God, why do I sow to what is corrupt and deceitful and the very thing that I have been freed from? Why do I do that, you numpty? Numpty. Anyone, do you guys ever do that? No. Oh, I have no idea, brother. For dear sake, you're not even a Christian. So, let me tell you why this really, really matters to you. You sow to what God has done in your life. See, let me put it this way. It's not that you are people who give. You are givers. It's not that you are people who do generous things. You are made generous. It's not that you are a person who does the odd bit of serving. You are a servant at your core. It's not that you love occasionally, but you are a lover of people. That's who you are. That is who you're created to be. That is putting on Jesus in his righteousness. You are not somebody who gets angry every now and again. You are somebody who is peaceful. That is who you are. Do you get me? Some of us need to put on righteousness again and stop messing about with the Lord and saying, oh, but I'm under grace. Grace has freed you. I've started to understand this week why Paul, you know, the father of grace, at times you sense this underlying kind of, come on, people, stop acting like numpties. It's not like, oh, please just don't go back under slavery. He's going, don't do it. Are you mental? Maybe some of you are. But you know, that's the point. Why would you do it? Why would you sow to that crap when you're free from it? Why would you keep going back there whenever you... It's just bringing all that pain back into your life and all that frustration. When I have made you righteous and holy, now sow to that. Yeah, isn't that awesome? So let's read this story. And I'm going to do it in 10 minutes. Kind of. So Mark 10... You know when anyone who's preaching goes, here's my last point, what we really mean is we've got four more, but we just keep saying that till you go, thank God, I'm going to get home from a chicken, you know, but I'm just letting you into a wee secret. All right, so Mark 10, this is an awesome story. It's the story of the rich young ruler, and listen to me, unless, if you have a pulse this morning, the Lord's speaking to you, okay? This is not one of those ones where it's like, oh, I didn't take anything out of that this morning, it must have been for somebody else. No, it's for you. So, and as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up, didn't saunter up, hands in his pockets, and sort of sidle up to Jesus. This guy runs up and kneels down. Actually, it says in the original that he threw himself at the feet of Christ. There's a desperation in him. And he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The word here is, I'll come on to that in a second, actually, eternal life. It's the God quality of life. He's not saying, what do I have to do in order that when I die, I will be with you forever? He's going, right now, in my present tense reality, there is a God quality of life that I don't have now. What do I need to do to get it? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and your mother. The guy says, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Now come and follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, there's so many ways of looking at this story. Traditionally, it's talked about with money, and because this is the guy's issue. And actually, there's... When you approach the Bible, there's two things that you bear in mind. One is interpretation, and the other is application. So what it means is there is one way to interpret the Word of God because the words are what they mean, okay? So black is black, white is white. Other words mean what they mean, but you can apply the Word of God in many ways. So a great example is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's interpreted one way, but it's been applied in many different ways throughout Scripture. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's like looking at a diamond. You know, one teacher will look at it this way and see this truth, and then somebody else looks at it just a little bit, and the Spirit of God shines on it and shows you a different truth, all right? So here's the truth. I'm just going to shine a light on the whole flipping thing this morning and go, this is about your life. This is not just about your money. This is about your time. This is about your attention. This is about your love. Because this story for me encapsulates exactly where we are right now. This young guy who runs up to Jesus Is he young? He's a prince or a magistrate of some sort. He's important. We know that he's not Roman, because if he was Roman, he would not have called Jesus good master, and he wouldn't have fallen at his feet. Now, he had money, and he had stuff. Now, what that does is, even for a young guy, it suggests to us that he has a comfortable existence. Yet here he is, a guy who has all the stuff in the world, a guy who is reasonably comfortable, a guy who is privileged and has position, and he falls at the feet of Jesus. It tells us this. Now, this might ring a bell with you. What I have is not enough, Lord. And it's not about his stuff, because he's very blessed there. But what I have, it's not enough. It wasn't satisfying him, and he knew that there was something different about the way his life was and the way that it was meant to be. Anyone? Oh, come on, give me a hand. Anyone know that there's something different about your way your life is and the way that it's meant to be? Okay, three of you. The rest of you, I swear, you are so holy. Think about it. That deep down sense that he knows that the way that his life is meant to be so much more. So there's a restlessness in him. There's an underlying busyness around his life, but there's an underlying restlessness which says that, God, I know that there's more for me. This eternal life, this God life, this that he describes, it describes an age, the first word, and then the life is the quality of life that is only found in God. And what he says is this, you know, I am basically, let me paraphrase, I'm unhappy. It's not just that this guy's curious a little bit, because he runs and he falls at the feet of Jesus. He must have been unhappy enough in his life to risk the wrath of everybody else. Because if he was a religious guy, which we think he was, then the people, the religious people of the day would have been pointing the finger at him. So his question is this, God, I have a life. It is what it is. Put this into your own context. Now, what do I need to do with my life now to get God life in exchange? What do I need to do to get God life? Streams of living water flowing out of me. Not controlled from the outside, but controlled by the Lord on the inside. What I've seen in you, God, what I've seen in you, Jesus, is so much more than I'm experiencing with everything that I have in my life already. So how do I get from here to here? How do I see what you're seeing and see it in my own life? Notice this guy's not disrespectful. He calls Jesus good master. He calls him teacher. To anyone looking from the outside, he's privileged. Outwardly, he has it all together. He's not embarrassed to come to Jesus. And what I'm trying to say is this is a genuine attempt by a guy who is searching. Anyone ever had a genuine attempt to search God out? And go, I'm here. I'm right here, God. Now, how do I get to here? This is my life, and it's good. It's blessed. There's plenty in it. But there's God life, and I want God life. I want the God quality of life existence. I don't want to lurch from miracle to miracle, but I want to live blessed and favored. Anyone? Yeah. That's the question this guy's asking. Oh. Now, there's a quick comparison here between what we think and what Jesus thinks. If I can paraphrase what this guy says, because this is when I'm not going to look at it from that angle. Paraphrasing, he goes, to the outside, I've kind of done everything that you require of me. I'm definitely not perfect, but I'm not as bad as anybody else. By his own estimation, he's pretty good. I haven't murdered anyone. At least in those days, you could think about it. As long as you didn't do it, you were all right. We have a higher standard under the law. If we think about it, we might as well have done it. But by his own estimation, he's pretty good. Jesus is making lots of point here, depending on the way that you look at the story. Now, what Jesus is essentially saying is this, and it's a different talk, but the reason why he cuts back at the guy is he says, you know, it wasn't just about getting the stuff out of him. What he was trying to, the point that Jesus is making is that if you break one part of the law, you break it all. So your estimation of your ability has got stuff all to do with it. You break one part, you're guilty of sin for the rest of it. So he elevates the standard in the eyes of the guy. And that's, let me move on though. Because I want to just quickly look in finishing, see what I did there, that's a lie. I've got a good 20 minutes to go, joking. Jesus offers the guy a choice. And it's the same choice he's going to offer you right now. Will you sow to your flesh, or will you trust God and sow into your spirit? You have to make that choice daily. It'd be that easy to do this talk and say, oh, I made that choice when I got saved, or yes, after this talk today, Andrew, I'm going to sow. You make it daily in every situation and every circumstance that comes your way. We all know that even though we love God, we come to him asking what he has for us. We want to see God life, and then we're confronted with the very thing that strikes absolute fear into our hearts. Because God didn't want to control this guy externally. He wanted to get to his heart. We all know what it is for us. Is it your money? Is it your time? Is it your reputation? Is it your future? Is it your health? What is it? Because Jesus says, you might have it all together by your estimation, but when you might even say all the right things to me, good master, good teacher, raise my hands in worship, to the outside look like you've got it all done. You might know that only in God is the life to be found that will truly satisfy you and truly deliver you, where you'll truly be free and living for the way that you were built and created. And Jesus offers you the whole kingdom. He said, yep, but you come across the very thing where you go, uh-oh, not this, God. This guy was money. For some of you, it's money. Jesus, do you know the amazing thing about this story? Jesus stands in front of this guy, right? And I just imagine it, right? And it's like, he goes, here, take it, it's yours. That's my phone. But the illustration is, take it. There's no sense of Jesus going, well, hold on, let's see if we can trip him up. His arms are open, his wide open, going, eternal life, God life, it's yours, have it. God doesn't hold back ever. He doesn't hold back from you. He doesn't do that. But what he's saying is this, for you to go from here to here is going to require two things. Number one is for you to choose it, and number two, for you to believe me and trust me. Now, here's some important points. That's the heart of the issue. When Jesus comes into your life and says, I have God life for you. I have God quality of life for you. Streams of living water flowing from the up. I want to get up in the morning with streams of living water in my life. I want to get up with excitement and purpose and vision and hope. I want to get up with blessing and prosperity and favor and health on me and on my children and on my church. That's what I want. I really do. And God says, you get up in the morning and he says, what are you going to sow to? Will you trust me? Will you really believe me that when I say that God quality of life is yours to take and to choose, will you trust me? Or at the point where it just becomes a little bit uncomfortable, will you pull back? That's the heart of the issue. That's why people don't give regularly or generously. Because despite the wide open promises of God's grace and provision, we simply do not trust. We've got to be honest about it. We don't choose our righteousness and our holiness and our position as sons and heirs. What we choose is to listen to the voice of fear that we have been corrupted by and set free from whenever we encountered Christ. And Jesus stands there day after day, and he will never pull back on eternal life for you. But he stands there and he goes, take it, it's yours. Take it, it's yours. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to push you over the line. Choose to put on righteousness. Choose to put on holiness. Choose to sow to the Spirit in you, and life will flow from the inside out. Life will flow. We don't serve them because we feel like our own needs and preferences are more important than anyone else. Oh, I'm a wee bit tired. I'm not even going to go there. The lie that I will be happier and more content when I put myself first and what I need first is a lie. But we sow to our flesh, and then we wonder why. The more selfish we are and the more we look after ourselves, we never seem to be more happy. We wonder why when we don't give generously and we don't give regularly, even people in this church don't do it. And then we wonder why we still bang our heads around the same old cul-de-sac, because God's standing there going, choose it. Choose to cooperate and sow into my Spirit. It's your choice. I can't force you because you don't have a guardian anymore. If you were under the law, I would just blatter you with the law, the blunt instrument, until you did it. But I don't do that anymore because you don't need it. You've got the Spirit of God in you, and you get to choose the Spirit of God. And when you choose the Spirit of God, life is the result. I could talk here about how families work and how churches work, but most of us get that. Sometimes what we allow in church, we simply wouldn't allow in our own homes or families. You know, I'm all for people pulling on the church at times when you need it, but I'm not all for people doing that as a way of life. Let me put it this way, if I can be really honest. Every time you're irresponsible, it takes somebody to be responsible to pull up your slack. Straight enough for you? Straight enough for you? You want to act irresponsibly? That's okay. Just have a look around this church today. For every irresponsible act, somebody has to act responsibly to pull up the slack for you. Now, I'm okay with that for a period of time, but I'm not okay as a way of life. Why? Because that's somebody just continually sow into their flesh. It's not what this family's about. We are servers. We are givers. We are generous people. We are loving people. We are people who prefer one another and not seek to just derive the maximum benefit for ourselves. That's not our church. that is not the message of God's grace and it's not the message of his love. Like Phil said, you have responsibility. Whether it's in spiritual matters or practical matters, people pull up your slack whenever you don't carry it. Every time you're irresponsible or you're lazy, somebody has to be committed and responsible. Think about that. And I'm not okay with it anymore, actually. Can I just be really honest? See, my body language has just got defensive. I understand this stuff. Open posture. I don't want to, remember I said at the start, I don't want to guilt you. I don't want to manipulate you because you don't need a guardian. I just want to be surrounded by a church and by a family of people. I want my little kids growing up with a generous family, understanding what it means to be in a family that gives and gives and gives with a stream of living water coming out from the inside of us. I want to raise the most generous family in the world. I want them to be known not for how clever they are, because they are. They really are. Take after their mummy, all right? She got the brains and the looks. These aren't disagreeing. Can somebody just give me a kind of a sympathetic nod at some point and go, well, no, you're definitely right, says Pete Doyle. I want my, not just in my home, but in my church. Why? Because that's the message of grace. You know, when Jesus hung on that cross, he didn't go, any chance, get me off this now, I've had enough. He let his very life pour out. It cost him everything. You know what Phil said last week? It hit me like a something between the eyes, whatever hits you between the eyes. He said, you're the most important thing in the whole world because it cost God his whole life to pour out for you. I was like, oh, flip, tell me that again. So what's my response? And here's the upside downness of the kingdom of God. The upside downness of the kingdom of God is the more you pour out your life with the here's the thing. When it's outside in, you eventually will run out of whatever you are looking for. So when you're selfish, you run out of all this stuff satisfying you, and you might think that you're actually, it's very short-term thinking, because then you get fed up with people, you get tired, you become unsatisfied. The thing that I love about this message is when Jesus talked about springs of living water flowing from the inside, it's like an artesian well, it never stops. Continually pours. When you choose the Spirit, it never stops. It just flows from you all the time. It's no longer your effort and trying hard. It's just God flowing, God flowing, God flowing. So why do you choose to cap that and go with your flesh? Madness. Madness, I say. So let me finish. And this, I'm being honest, this is my last point. I promise, okay? Wales kick off at 2:30, isn't that right? Amen. So, need to pray for our family this month because already we've had a wee bit of tension over the whole rugby. Penny's line to me is, why are you watching that one? Sure, you watched one earlier. And I'm going, it's different teams. Anyway. So it's like, oh, you watched rugby in 2015, one game. That was it. So what's the result? What's the result of choosing to walk into your flesh? Stuff, I'm going to finish it. Here's what this guy does. This young guy has it all together. He physically turns from Jesus. Jesus, he turns his back and he walks away, we're told. Now, we don't do that, but we do it in our hearts. When we're confronted with opportunity for God life, opportunity for grace and sow into the Spirit and living water coming out, what we do is we don't physically turn away, but in our hearts we do. And we turn and we go in the other way. He stands before Jesus. He simply asked him this thing. He said, don't try harder. Don't work harder. God life, quality of the kingdom in your life is all yours. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to beg for it. You don't need to prove yourself for it. I'm going to give it to you. All I want you to do is what? Is trust me. And have faith in me, and that life is yours. But he turns away. It's an interesting word. It says here in this version, ESV, that he's disheartened. Let me tell you what that word is. Pethra, it means a deep, emotional, severe pain. It was so painful. It's the same word that they use for childbirth, which apparently is very sore, allegedly. Oh, I don't know. But I move on. His choice is this. What I'm trying to say is this. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Galatians 6, 8, and 9 says this, for the one who sows to his own flesh from the flesh will reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. The interesting word is this, disheartened, he walks away. Whenever God comes to you and says, trust me, there's God life for you, and you turn away, what you do is you cause pain in your life. That's the point of the story. It's deep pain. Actually, the word here in Galatians, this is amazing, that it says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. The word pether, it means this, listen to me, decay, decomposition from the inside out. Internal decay and decomposition. What do you know about things that decay and decompose? It doesn't happen straight away. Pull an apple off the tree, it doesn't die like that. You leave it there, and day after day, it slowly starts to decompose. It slowly starts to rot. Where? From the inside out. Isn't it amazing? Just to pull it together, where we talk about, the cameras are going to go mental, I'm getting excited, where we talk about grace being changed from the inside out. Jesus says when you sow to your flesh, it is pethera, it is decay from the inside out. Choose one or the other. You may not see the effects of it straight now, but you will see it over time. Whenever you continually sow to your flesh, you decompose. And why would you want to decompose and stink whenever you've got the opportunity for living water in you? Why would you sow to your flesh and slowly die a death on the outside that not many people will see for a while? But that's the process, according to the Word of God in Galatians, that's happening. And here's my very last point. Jesus lets him walk away. He doesn't run after him. He doesn't coerce him. He doesn't change the message. He doesn't lower the bar to make it easier. In the very moment where Jesus says, it's all yours, and that guy goes, no, I'm going to choose not to trust, and he walks away, Jesus stands there and lets him go. Let that be a salutary lesson. That's freedom. That's why grace freaks people out. We want Jesus to come and go, there, it's all right. Whereas Jesus is going, I'm prepared to let you go because I can't control you because you don't have a guardian. You don't have one. God doesn't manipulate, beat, or control you. He says, choose. Why? I've given you the ability to choose God. And so he'll not run after you, wiping up after you, going, there, it's all right, put your finger in your mouth, and there's your stomach. He goes, no, stand up and be the man or woman that you've created, that I've created you to be. Don't choose corruption and decay and decomposition. Sow to the life of God in you, and living water flows. Flippin' Nora, that's why you have this morning. You all will have got one of these. There's two things in it. Number one is a beautiful leaflet that shows you every bit of this church and where you can serve. The second thing is this, it's a standing order form. Your whole life, if I could say, what am I doing this for? That sums up most people's lives, time and money, doesn't it? Time and money. Well, here's what I want you to do. Here's your response. I want you to go away and I want you to read this. I don't want to find these lying under the seats because I'll be really cross because it took me ages to do them. Just on a purely selfish basis. Pig and Mike, or what do you call it? Pages. Horrible. Just moves things and don't move it there. I want it there. But apart from that, it represents something. It represents your time. And Jesus says, okay, what do you want? You want to sow to your flesh? If you're in this family, if this is your church, we want to see you pouring your life into what God is doing here. All right? It's not okay to let everyone else be responsible for you. It's not okay for you, but you know what the really important thing is? You're cutting yourself off from the life of God. So go away, read it. On every area of service, there is somewhere where you can go, God, I can do that. It is possible for me. Whenever you stop, and you might go, oh no, I'm just too flipping lazy. I have this in my life and that in my life. Well, prioritize that, and you will sow to that. That's all I'm going to say. When it comes to your money, that's a standing order form. Do you know we have lots of people in this church who do not give regularly? It amazes me. We have lots of people who give very regularly and very generously, and for those people, I'm really grateful. Lots of people don't. And can I say again, it's not good enough. If you do not have a standing order, and this is your church family, take this today, fill it in, and give it to Marilyn. Put your hand up, Marilyn, so everyone knows who you are. What? And Wayne, two people. In fact, give it to me, three, four, you can't miss us. Why am I doing that this morning? Am I trying to guilt you or motivate you? No, hopefully you've picked up from me this morning. This is about life in you. It's about life in our church. Here's the rub. If you don't capture this, we don't have a church. Whatever this is, it's not church family. Do you get that? Because church family is about us all coming together and saying, my needs and my preferences are one thing, but I know there is a God quality of life for me and for the people that I am planted with, and so I'm going to be a generous giver. Why? Because that's who I am. I'm not a selfish, throw 20 quid in every other week and say, let everyone else pull up the slack. Just imagine yourself standing in front of Jesus and him saying, you know, I've got God quality of life for you, but are you really so caught up in your own money that you're going to turn your back and walk from me and sow into your flesh? Don't do it, folks. Instead of saying, well, how can everyone else serve me week after week? Take that leaflet away and go, I am a servant. Why? Because Christ in me has set me free to love and to prefer. I know that that is upside down to many of your thinking. But if I can just say this, unless you're seeing the fullness of the kingdom of God, then maybe, just maybe, you need to listen this morning and go, I have been bought for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ set me free. If you have a standing order, this is what Penny and I's challenge is. You know, sometimes we set them up and we just go, ah, whatever. When was the last time you prayed and said, God, you know, am I giving in line with what you're telling me to give? Am I being generous? Am I sowing above and beyond? Am I doing that? No, because I feel afraid and I can't make ends meet and you don't understand. Believe you me, I have a wife and three kids and a mortgage. I'm no different to the rest of you. But my choice is, when he calls and I say, God, for me and my family and for my church, I want God life. Here's my resolution. I'm not turning my back anymore. I'm not turning my back anymore. I'm taking that risk to trust him. Stand to your feet.